Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Running Meetings by Harvard Business Review, narrated by James Edward Thomas. Publisher's note: this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material.
Running Effective Meetings. Most of us have attended too many meetings where the meeting organizer was anything but organized. Perhaps he called a meeting to make an important decision, but didn't send out the critical information to prepare in advance. So we spent the entire meeting skimming data and only half focusing on the decision at hand. Perhaps he sent out the presentation deck in advance, but didn't think to invite the team's leader, though she needed to endorse the final choice. Perhaps he just invited everyone to brainstorm, but nobody really had any ideas, and the conversation faltered as everyone began surreptitiously answering messages on their smartphones. Or maybe everyone had great ideas during the session, but forgot to follow through on them afterward. Unproductive meetings like this are frustrating for everyone because they waste time. On the other hand, productive meetings can be an extremely effective way of communicating, solving problems, making decisions, planning projects, or inspiring a team. Depending on your organization's culture, meetings may be the central place where these critical activities occur. We all know that running a successful meeting requires work before and after anyone is actually seated in a room together. But far too often, we think we can just wing it by having a general idea of what we need to talk about. We just need to have a quick conversation, we say. Or, let's just pull everyone into a room. We often don't take the time to consider what we need to do to make that conversation effective. Thoughtful preparation, active meeting management skills, and strong follow-up can make the difference between a rewarding, enjoyable, and invigorating session and one in which everyone doodles and avoids eye contact. This is especially true if the need to gather is urgent. Then, it's that much more important that the meeting itself be effective. The discipline and time you invest before, during, and after will pay off for your team and for you. In the meeting, you'll be able to communicate, build consensus, and get things done. And you'll earn a reputation as a productive meeting leader in your organization as well. Though this book may be especially useful for people just assuming levels of leadership responsibility, running effective meetings is a skill that is critical all the way up to the C-suite level. Stop Wasting Valuable Time, a 2004 article in Harvard Business Review, found that even top management teams of companies tend to use their meeting time badly, focusing on the critical issues of strategic planning for less than 15% of their time together. Whether you are an executive looking to work more efficiently with your team, or a new manager learning for the first time, this book will help you quickly learn the steps you need to take to make sure your meeting is successful. Preparing for your meeting. Your meeting is far more likely to be a success if you think through its purpose, how to craft an effective agenda, whom to invite, how to word the invitation so that people actually attend, how to ensure your attendees are well prepared, and how you'll lead and delegate within the meeting when it happens. Not every gathering will require elaborate preparation, of course. In some cases, your initial prep work may in fact lead you to conclude that you don't need a meeting after all. But remember to think of running a meeting as a discipline. If you take the time to run through the basics of good preparation each time, you'll know what to expect on the actual day and develop a natural sense of how much groundwork is appropriate for each type of gathering in the future, and of course, reap the rewards of a smooth session. Why are you meeting? First things first. It may sound trivial or obvious, but don't gloss over accurately identifying the purpose of the meeting. This is the fundamental planning step, since the purpose drives all the other elements, including planning the agenda, the invitation list, and the timing and venue. Be as specific as possible as you think through what the gathering needs to accomplish. Is it to brainstorm? Brainstorm what? To inform your team. About what exactly and why? To fix a problem? If so, are you meeting with the expectation that you'll solve it, or that you'll come up with a plan to determine a solution at a later date? Are you meeting to clarify roles and responsibilities? Rally the troops. Make a decision. For example, if you invite everyone involved to discuss the special revenue-generating project, but don't really consider whether your goal is to get a status update, which you know you need to do, to brainstorm ways to speed up the timetable, which needs to happen at some point, or to reprioritize workload, which one of the team members really wants. You and your attendees will all come into the room with totally different ideas of what you will get out of the meeting. The attendees may all have put thought into different aspects of the issue, and when you don't focus on all of those aspects, you'll only frustrate them. If instead you let people know that the purpose of the gathering is to make a decision about reprioritizing the workload in your department, you are far more likely to include just the individuals who specifically need to be there, and in turn, they will be on hand to give their feedback about options and to endorse the decision as it is made. Knowing the purpose of your meeting is thus critical to the rest of the planning process. As you're preparing for the specific type of gathering you need, you may also want to refer to running specific types of meetings later in this book, which focuses on how to lead several of the most common meeting types. Setting an agenda. Once you've defined the purpose of your meeting, you need to create an agenda based on it. Agenda items. List the items that you need to achieve your purpose, whether these are time for brainstorming, a discussion about a certain issue, or a presentation of new information. In addition to these items, it's a good idea to plan a bit of time for an introduction, since you'll want to provide some recap and context setting at the beginning of your session. Last time we met, we needed to find out what the budget would be for this project. We have that number now. A good agenda takes into account these kinds of routine items so that you won't spend unexpected time on them, forcing you to rush through the heart of your program. Once you know what your agenda items are, decide roughly how much time you will grant to each one. Your attendees' schedules may limit the length of the full meeting, but even if they don't, think short. See more on timing your meeting in the section Finding a Time later in this chapter. Although most meetings are between 30 minutes and 2 hours long, few people can really focus their attention for a full 2 hours while sitting still in a chair. 1 hour is better, and 55 minutes is great. It allows your participants 5 minutes to get to the next meeting. Half or full day gatherings should be reserved for infrequent special events, such as a semi-annual training session or a yearly strategy off-site. Always underestimate, rather than overestimate, how many issues a group can handle in a given time, and allow extra time to deal with your most critical items. Sequencing agenda items. Once you have your agenda items listed and a time assigned to each, think about the logical flow from one item to the other. You don't want to discuss the budget for a project, for example, before you've identified its deadline and its scope. As you go, keep in mind that you may know more about the project than the other participants. So sequence items so that they make sense to the attendees rather than just to you. Here's how to plan the sequence of the agenda for optimal flow and energy. If your agenda is likely to be complicated or challenging, consider starting with a few easy items, then work up to the most complex or controversial ones. Separate information sharing issues from problem solving, decision making, or brainstorming issues. For example, if your agenda is about a thorny assignment the CEO has given your group, present that news first. It should be its own agenda item. Update on new assignment. Then, separately, raise the question of how you'll fit the new project into the group's workload. Review of workload status. Then you can discuss who will handle particular aspects of the project and set a timetable, assignments, and schedule. Look for issues that build on each other. For example, suppose you're scheduling a meeting to decide on a final design for a new product. As in the previous example, you'll want to make sure that you're giving the group all the information they need about the new project, as well as hearing about any workload concerns before you discuss the timetable for the work. Break complex issues down into manageable parts. For example, if the purpose of a gathering is to make a decision about which new product idea to consider focusing on next, break the issue into parts, such as what focus group feedback must be considered, what the staffing implications of each choice would be, budget and time constraints, and so on. For a small meeting, your agenda can be relatively loose, but for a larger group, the more structure you provide, the more effective the meeting will be. During unusually long meetings, such as half-day workshops or full-day offsites, address the most difficult issues at a time when participants are at their most focused. For example, attendees probably won't be at their best just before or after lunch, or when they are just settling into a meeting early in the morning. Assigning agenda items to participants. When you think about how each item on the agenda needs to be handled, prepare yourself to lead the discussion of that topic, or assign it to an appropriate attendee and let the person know well in advance. If you'll be the one leading the discussion on a particular item, spend some time thinking about what must be covered, whose opinions you should seek, or how you might encourage brainstorming about a particular topic. You don't have to do this as you plan the agenda, but you need to make sure to do it in advance of the meeting. Figure 1 shows an example of an agenda. You can distribute this document both when you send the invitation to let participants know what is coming, and again as you begin the meeting, so participants have it in front of them as you proceed. Identifying the right participants. It may be easy to default to inviting a crowd of people to a meeting. That way, you don't really have to identify the most critical participants. You'll avoid any ruffled feathers, you'll have everyone involved on hand for a decision, and you won't have to repeat your communication separately afterward. Or maybe your tendency is to want to keep things small. You may be tempted to invite just a small group of people whose opinions you most value. But for a meeting to be useful, you have to have the right people, and only the right people, in the room. With too many attendees, you may have trouble focusing everyone's time and attention and accomplishing anything. With too few, you might not have the right decision makers or information providers in the room. As you plan your attendee list, consider who will help you to accomplish your meeting's goal and those who will be most affected by its outcome. Most likely, this is a combination of people who will offer a variety of perspectives. Take the time to methodically list the individuals in each of these categories to make sure you include the right people. The key decision makers for the issues involved. The ones with information and knowledge about the topics under discussion. People who have a commitment to or a stake in the issues. Those who need to know about the information you have to report in order to do their jobs. Anyone who will be required to implement any decisions made. Feel free to consult with other stakeholders to make sure you've made the right list. Often, another key stakeholder can remind you of a perspective you forgot to bring into the room. the right number of attendees. Just because someone's name is on your list, however, doesn't mean he or she must be at the meeting. How many people should you actually invite? There are no hard and fast rules, but in principle, a small meeting is best to actually decide or accomplish something. A medium-sized meeting is ideal for brainstorming. And for communicating and rallying, you can go large. Some people use what's known as the 8-18-1800 rule as a rough guideline. If you have to solve a problem or make a decision, invite no more than 8 people. If you have more participants, you may receive so much conflicting input that it's difficult to deal with the problem or make the decision at hand. If you want to brainstorm, then you can go as high as 18 people. If the purpose of the meeting is for you to provide updates, invite however many people need to receive the updates. However, if everyone attending the meeting will be providing updates, limit the number of participants to no more than 18. If the purpose of the meeting is for you to rally the troops, go for 1,800 or more. If you decide not to invite individuals you listed as likely to be affected by the meeting's outcome, have a plan to communicate the substance of the meeting to them afterward. Assign roles. Consider giving specific participants an active role to play in the meeting as one way to be sure that they're engaged, feel that they have a voice in the conversation, and that they attend. You are the leader. Your job is to clarify the gathering's purpose, objectives, constraints, and scope of authority. You must take responsibility for follow-up, but there are other essential roles you can assign. Facilitator guides the group through the discussion, problem-solving, and decision-making phases of the meeting. May be responsible for pre- and post-meeting logistics. This is a good role for someone who wants more leadership experience but isn't ready yet to be the leader. It's a prominent position, but one that requires a person to play a more neutral role throughout the meeting. It's also a good way of diffusing potential critics in advance. Let them know that you are asking them to be a facilitator, which means making sure all sides of an issue are raised. Most people will rise to that leadership challenge and lead a fair and balanced conversation, rather than trying to steamroll their own perspective through. This isn't meant to stifle important input, however, just the opposite. Scribe captures the key points, ideas, and decisions that result from the meeting. May also draft the post-meeting notes. You don't need detailed minutes unless they are a legal requirement. Few people have the time or inclination to read full minutes. Still, identify someone to take notes on any key findings for you to use in preparing a follow-up note. This is a great assignment for someone who is shy in public meetings but wants to participate. Contributor participates actively by offering ideas and helping to keep the discussion on track. Make it clear to the individuals whom you're asking to play this role that you're counting on them to keep the discussion lively and to contribute information regarding certain issues. Catherine, I know you've done a lot of thinking about the new website. Can you make sure our discussion addresses all of the key issues? Expert shares knowledge on particular issues as requested. One advantage, you can ask an expert to attend just part of the meeting, keeping his or her contribution focused. For example, if you are discussing how people can work from home more effectively, you might ask the IT lead in your group to drop in for 10 minutes as you consider the implications for your teleconferencing vendor. Timekeeper tracks time spent on each agenda item and moves the discussion along to the next agenda item. You don't need to have someone sounding a phone alarm every 5 minutes, but you might, for example, ask this person to remind you when you have 15 minutes left, to ensure you get to all the items on your agenda, or to let you know if you have spent more than 10 minutes on any one item. One individual can fill several roles in a meeting. For example, if it's your meeting, you'll probably wear both the leader and the facilitator hats. Not every meeting needs the full cast of roles filled. It would be silly to assign a scribe to an informal get-together with three or four people, for example. Remember to state everyone's expected roles in the agenda and double-check that they know their responsibilities well in advance of the meeting. Making the invitation. It may seem simple, but where and when the meeting takes place and how participants are invited can bear heavily on the success of your gathering. Selecting a setting. When you schedule your meeting, pick a room that will be conducive to the tone you want to set. Do you want your meeting to be informal and intimate? Pick a small room, perhaps setting the chairs in a circle so everyone can easily see each other. Formal and rigorous? A conference room may work best. Make sure the room has enough space for your group, but isn't so cavernous that it is a distraction. Are some people attending virtually? Make sure you have a good speakerphone and good acoustics for someone who won't have the benefit of being physically present with the rest of the team. If someone is attending via video conferencing, does the room allow that person to see many or most of the participants from where the computer camera will be set up? Consider how the meeting will feel to each participant to make sure you select the right space. Finding a time. Work with your participants to uncover not only what potential conflicts they have in their schedule, but also what other more general commitments they may have that could pull them out of your meeting at the last minute. If your organization has a lot of meetings, just finding a time that is open for everyone can be a challenge, especially if you have a larger number of attendees. However, if you can, try to optimize your choice by avoiding the following times. The only free half hour in an important attendee's packed day. Friday afternoons, when people might be looking at the clock and thinking about their weekend. A day right before a holiday, or an attendee's vacation, when people will be rushing to finish their to-do lists. First thing in the morning, before people have had a cup of coffee, or the end of the day, when people are likely to be more tired. Lunch meetings, and if you do call one, be sure to provide food for your attendees. Think about when you are at your best. That's likely to be true for others, too. Sending the invitation. Once you've determined who needs to be there and have chosen a time and place, it's time to send the invitation. Consider inviting your attendees personally in addition to sending a calendar invitation, especially if you think there's a chance that the invitation will slip by unnoticed or that one of your attendees might be called into another meeting at the last minute. Make sure attendees know the purpose of the session. They'll be sure to take it more seriously if they see that you are. Setting up a recurring meeting. You should give the first instance of a recurring meeting even more attention than a standard one-off discussion. The most important thing to consider is whether you really do need a standing meeting, since if you don't have something to accomplish each time, the meetings can quickly and dangerously lose their energy and focus. So if you do need to institute a recurring meeting, make sure you clearly define both its overall purpose and the purpose of each instance. The first time you hold the meeting, take the time to invite everyone personally. Explain at that first meeting that it will be recurring and how often. Because they know there will be another session soon, attendees tend to skip out on individual occurrences of a recurring meeting more casually than they would a one-off. At your first meeting, ask for everyone's commitment to make the series a priority, explaining its purpose clearly. You may want to consider making attendance optional for some people. In that case, you'll need to give them specific information if they'll be needed in advance of a particular session, so they'll know that they have to attend that time. By respecting your attendees' time, you'll encourage them to respect your meeting as well. After the first session, put a recurring appointment in everyone's calendar with reminders in advance. These are often difficult to schedule, it can be tough to find a slot that works regularly for the whole team. Still, be sure to consider timing. Standing meetings that occur in the middle of the day are likely to get overwhelmed by other commitments that arise. A standing meeting that is, say, every Wednesday at 9 a.m. is more likely to stay on everyone's calendar than one scheduled for 1:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, when lunch meetings can run over, or the afternoon's to-do list looms large. Finishing your preparations. Your work isn't done when the invitation is sent. You may need to make further arrangements given the meeting's logistics, and you'll want to follow up with attendees regarding any materials that they'll need to review before the session itself. Prepare meeting logistics. Make arrangements to have a laptop in the room if someone will be calling in via video, or to have tech support on hand if you're hosting a multi-party conference call. Turning up for your carefully prepared meeting and then having to scramble for the first 10 minutes to get someone in the room to help you with the technology will mean you won't get to all of the items on your carefully planned agenda. And you'll also frustrate your waiting attendees. It's not a great way to start. To avoid last-minute problems and embarrassments, be sure to confirm and check the space and test any needed equipment ahead of time. Distribute reading materials. If successful participation in your meeting relies on materials that need to be read or reviewed, send those out in advance of the meeting. Waiting to hand them out until you gather can waste time, and you'll find your participants only half paying attention to both the materials and the meeting. When you send the materials is important as well. Don't, for example, send the preparation materials 10 minutes before the meeting start time. Get them to the attendees well enough in advance for them to have time for review, but not so far in advance that they put the materials in their later pile. A day or two should actually suffice. When you send the materials, make clear that you expect them to be read in advance. In the meeting, briefly mention that you expect everyone has read the advanced materials and proceed as if they have. Be aware, however, that unprepared participants can easily drift off into side conversations or distract others. See When Good Meetings Go Bad and How to Fix Them later in this book. Lead by example. Spend time preparing for your own agenda items and review all advanced materials so you're well briefed to help navigate the discussion without having to learn facts that you should already have at your disposal during the meeting. Remind others who are responsible for individual agenda items to do the same. You'll be able to lead a much better discussion if you can quickly recall relevant information that might confirm or challenge other participants' ideas. Do you really need a meeting? As you plan, keep asking yourself whether the meeting is really necessary. Let's face it, most people feel meetinged out these days. It's not that people don't like being in an energetic, productive meeting. For some people, it's even a welcome social break in the day. But we tend to overload ourselves with them. So don't just add your meeting to the pile without thinking through whether there is another, better way to accomplish your goal. It's better not to hold a meeting if you don't have time to prepare for the meeting. This may seem obvious, but it's a rule often overlooked. Another method of communicating, email, phone, text message, would work as well or better. For instance, if you want to inform several peer managers and your superiors that your team just signed an important account, email them to let them know the good news rather than calling a meeting. After all, you want to send the news quickly, and it is concise and easy to address in a quick message. The subject isn't worth everyone's time. For example, you discover that a vendor has overcharged your unit on several recent orders. The overcharges are minor, and you can deal with the situation by simply calling the vendor and letting it know about the errors. It's not worth everyone's time to sit down and discuss ways to solve this problem. Your group members are upset over a conflict or other problem and need time apart before being ready and able to address the situation. The subject is a person.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?